Okay, so we've all got options, and when I had the massively brain-injured kid who needed to be fixed, and I heard something, and I could not countenance it. To love is to be happy with.
So back to the option process. Now, when I had Catherine, when something terrible happens, everybody wants to help. And somebody gave me a book called To Love Is To, it was actually called Sunrise. And I read the book, and it was about a couple in New York who moved to Massachusetts, and they had been amazing advertising guru type people. So they had enough money to buy this very large property. And what they did was they, I don't know what they, I don't know, but I think probably they bought it after they'd sorted their kid out. Anyway, they had two daughters and they had a son. And the son was given antibiotics and antibiotics and antibiotics and antibiotics, and he gradually shut down and became incredibly autistic. And he was doing that, stimming thing, like all sorts of things he was doing. And what happened was they eventually worked out how to fix it, which was they sat in the bathroom, which is the toilet with him, and they were there with him and brought him back out again through non-judgment and not trying to do anything and just being there with him. So that whole thing, I
In the
actually,
bathroom.
in the bathroom, and so that was because there's no other distractions. There was just mum and kid, or dad and kid, and they did it themselves. And that book is called Sunrise, as in Son, not Sun. I got there. And I was processed by those people, and the bunch of people. It cost, when Catherine was 4 and a half or five, it cost 5,000 American dollars to be there for 5 days.
Wow.
And that was raised by the people of Australia because we were on the Hinch Report, which was a thing on TV. And also we've been on the front page of the Courier Mail because we're both very photogenic, and of course, there we go. So what happened was I went around the world, and so I know stuff, like there's a whole bunch of things that people don't understand that I'm carrying. So that's part of the story. So we get to the Option Institute, and they were working with Catherine, and they were working with us separately and sometimes together. And the option process is, what would it mean to you? Okay, so this, I'm going to break it down for you. So if we're looking at one person I did this with, she had really bad endometriosis, and she'd come upon me because I used to tithe my time, and I'd go around New Zealand and Australia, and I'd be at, mind body healing festivals with my posters. That was just my thing. My first website in 1999 was my meditation thing, so I had that. And I used to give a workshop called Honoring Our Bleeding.
What's that?
Honoring Our Bleeding. Because women aren't. And so I had a room full of people, and she was one of them. And then she must have taken my card or something, and then there was a sociology congress or something in Brisbane, and so she asked if she could come over and interview me because she was doing her thesis on endometriosis. I said, fine. So she comes over, and then I spent some time talking with her. She came back the next day. She thought, is it okay if I gave her treatment? I said, it's fine by me. So we had two sessions, really. And so I took her through the option process, and the process is basically no. You wouldn't know anything about the people that you're being processed with because it's all about the person and it's not counselling. And nobody that I'm aware of does it in Australia. And I do this sometimes with people because it's the most powerful thing I've ever seen. Because it's got nothing to do with an agenda. And so you ask the question, like, I don't know, whatever we're talking about. In her case, I asked her, what does it mean to you to have a period? Now, we did this also with what does it mean for you to be a woman and what does it mean to you to bleed? And she said, it's the same. And in her case, it really was. And so we went, so you ask the question, and the first thing that pops into your head, that's the answer. And then I used to do this with a treatment card because it was easy, and we'd just be, it's a lined piece of paper. And you'd have, and then I'd have another bit. And so there's the question, and then they say something, I cover that up. So we've got, what does that mean to you? Next one, and we're just going down like that. And when there's an I don't know, the answer is, if you did know, what would you guess it to be? Now, that usually gets you past, I have to be right all the time. If I did know, if you did know, what would you guess it to be? So then there's also if you're just stuck and there's nothing, because it's not thinking it through, it's just what comes out. Yeah. Where do you feel it? And what do you feel? Or there might be a memory or something, right? And so then I'd write over there next to the word, you know, that's more homework, basically. It's just right, well, that's brought that memory up. And now we're going down and down and down and down and down. So with these three questions, each one of them basically went through pain and death to peace. What's the problem with peace? Anyway, for her, it was the first time that she saw what was going on for her. And I explained it through the East Asian medicine way, which is you've got not endometriosis, it's like me renaming cancer to be rogue you, rogue me. And diabetes is not enough exercise, too much sugar, and not enough vitamin D as well. But you know, like, put the onus back on the person who's been stuffing around with their body and not doing what they should do, because bodies are supposed to work. If they're in a broken state, and we want to keep them in a broken state because that then keeps a whole financial thing going, well, that's not actually an appropriate thing to be doing, really. And if you want to be stuck in that, fine. But if you want to get out of it, you're going to have to make some changes in the headspace. So this is the headspace thing that I had to work with. And I knew this was true because I'm Catherine's mother. And when I was told that she was going to be blind and deaf, massively cerebrally palsied, and massively epileptic and profoundly intellectually impaired, and they just kept on telling me that over and over and over again. She's 33 now. And they kept on, but I didn't do what they said. So this is where I was going to go today. I'll get there shortly.
Is she independent of the living?
God, no. I vaccinated her when she was 4.5. We were on track. And then we lost her. It's just like the standard parent that vaccinates with MMR. Gone. Should have never been touched by a vaccine. Big story, haven't written up. Anyway, so that's how come I can do what I'm doing. Because I've had to face stuff that nobody else
got in.
Well, I've just found that there's a funding shortfall, and so I'm paying for her physically at the moment. Because there's a shortfall in funding. It's like, well, sort of, I'm funding. I'm on the planet to keep my massively brain-injured kid together. So she's with an... Oh, she's an amazing family. She's with Fijian, a Fijian family who've had her longer than I did, and they love her to pieces, and she's part of their family.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't have her anyway, even if I could, if you and I wanted to. There's no funding.
What about national disability?
No, well, we're not here. We're in New Zealand. But even then, it wouldn't work. No, no, there's no funding for massively vaccine-damaged kids. It's just hopeless. Anyway, we're not talking about that story. So we're back with what I was told was going to happen to her. And after about 5 minutes of them going through, because I wasn't reacting, I heard it. They didn't have to say anything. I could see the scan. She'd gone from one tiny bit of black on the scan in the right temple area till a third of it was black. And most of the cortex was gone. You know, like, I could see what had happened in this time. I didn't need anyone to tell me. I'm not stupid. And then while they kept on saying the same bloody script, not to expect anything of her and to live each day at a time and all of that, there's me. All of a sudden, I worked out, because I was working with people who couldn't get pregnant. I thought, oh, God, what if I fix everything, and because of the medication, they've buggered up her eggs and she can't make a baby? And I burst into tears because I thought, after all of the effort I'm going to have to put in, what if what they've done so far is going to stuff her up altogether? Then, because I burst into tears, they all traipsed out of the room, and there's probably about 10 of them, leaving me with my husband, who was as shell-shocked as I was, and a box of tissue.
Yeah, well, you've got a...
What to cry about? Well, I didn't cry about it. I thought I went back and I actually wanted to pick her up and throw her through the bloody window and just get on with my life. Now, that's being emotionally real. It's like, how dare you come into my life and do this? And that lasted about 2 minutes. And then I got on with being a mother again, because I was a primarily bonded mother. And I was breastfeeding her and doing everything, and it didn't look back from there. But we've got to be emotionally real. And my human response to this is bloody hell. It's not what I had a kid for. And I think death would be a lot easier in a lot of cases.
Have real responses.
Well, that was a very real response.
Bullshit ourselves that we don't feel the way we might feel.
Yeah, well, I did.
I know mothers who, you know, 40 years old, you know, have an autistic child, 40 years later, they still can't admit to their guilt feelings or, you know, whatever that happened at the very childbirth, you know, when the last kid was disabled.
Right, so there I am. I know that I was playing that script in my head, like she was number three child. I knew what newborns were and blah, blah, blah. And my mother came and went, which was unusual, over Christmas, over for about 6 weeks, and she'd never come in. So that was just so helpful, because who was going to look after the kids while I was in and out of the hospital? We were just doing team tag in the hospital, so there was always one of us in the hospital, and there was my breasts that needed to be milked as well. So we had two other kids anyway. So that, and then Mum goes home, and the kids go back to school, and there's only me and Catherine in the house, and I'm wondering if that's my baby crying, babbling. And I thought, Heather, she doesn't babble. Remember? You know, like, I was really tired. I mean, she screamed all night. I didn't know she was acute mercury poisoning from, anyway, so that's another story altogether. And so then I decided, I don't know what I decided. I just had this bright idea that if I treated her without the diagnosis and prognosis, if I just treated her like a normal baby that I would have, within half an hour I had her the way she would have been had I, and I realised it was my fault, if you like. I was the one that was running the wrong script. Aha. Uh-huh. That's the story on my cancer thing about option process and how we deviated into how that set of parents sorted it out, and how I read the book and I got the funding, and I had no money. I hadn't kicked the husband out. I was living on a shoestring. I got to go over to where they were and go through their program and to come back and choose not to instigate it, but I was a completely different person, and so was she, and so was Rob, and so was Robert. That, yeah, we had an inkling of what to do, and I went about life, and particularly for patients, very differently. So when I've got anybody who's got a problem, I sometimes might launch into, so this is the skills I've got upon that I forget even to mention. That's one of them, and that is, if we undo what it means to us, which is always going to be the middle circle, the story, if we could undo that, then we may very well discover what is driving us, which has got nothing to do with what's happening at that moment.
So what would be the appropriate question then to... So three questions you mentioned. So,
well, it doesn't matter where we start. So in your case, it means, what does this pain mean to you? And we because pain's the most obvious thing. Okay, so I had another woman in the clinic, and she'd just been, well, ANZAC, you haven't been here, but ANZAC was an airline.
Well, I was here.
Oh,
were you? Yeah.
Okay, so when ANZAC went under.
Yeah, that was the '99.
Oh, okay then. Right. Well, when ANZAC went under, everybody lost their family and their tribe. It wasn't just a job. Okay? And they knew people, and they stayed with people all over the country, and all of a sudden they had nothing. And they had to get another job. And they were in such a mess. And so this woman came in, and she was an ex-ANZAC. And she had just gotten herself a job a year afterwards, and it was in Centrelink helping people who couldn't get a job. And, you know, she knew she needed the job because she had no money, but she was devastated. And she wanted me to help her migraines or whatever the hell. I said, just a minute. We've got another problem we need to fix, not that one. The problem you've got is you've lost your tribe. So I'm going to take you through a story. And I said to her that what you need to do is put whatever ANZAC means to you, and the, you know, like we've got walls, like take everything off a wall in your house, and whether it's a logo or your uniform or some other bloody thing, I want that on the wall. So we've got the lady, and she's put her whatever on the wall, and then she was to start the option process, and it was maybe going to be 20 or 30 things of what ANZAC meant to her. You know, it wasn't money. Yeah, she was getting money, but there's way more than that. And so we could pick one, any one, doesn't matter, and we start on that. And then we've got that word, and that word takes us where? And that word can take us all over the place, and we need to unpack it, and that's a big story. It's a huge story. And I haven't gone through what does having Catherine not as a normal 33-year-old daughter mean to me.
Mm-mm.
Because that's something that I have locked and closed and barricaded and all the rest of it. Because
that's horrible.
What use is it going to be at the moment? You know, like when
will
I get.
Will it wait for you?
It will wait. It will definitely wait.
No, alleviate the weight from you.
Oh, Olivia, I don't have any weight that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how we are, aren't we?
Oh, totally. And so I am no different to anybody else. And at the moment, I have had, you know, another kid after that one. And I've had to be a single mother for most of that. And here I am being the healing guidance for other people. Now, Catherine is not particularly my concern.
Mm.
And she is a master in her own right.
Mm.
And when people see my daughter and think that she's whatever, I go, you are silly. Because she is really very aware on other levels. And you judge her and she will do that for you. She will be that one. And if you see her as a clear spirit, she will do that one.
Very sensitive.
Very sensitive. Yeah. And so to continue with that, this is why I work like this, with your assignment particularly. I had a birthday and I chose to leave my youngest behind in Brisbane and to pay for my eldest to come over, and I was having a birthday party and I didn't tell anybody that Patricia might be there with Catherine, except a friend Maya who was going to be there, because she didn't know that she was going to be there, because she was flying her and Catherine down to have the engagement party for her son, and it happened to be on the 18th, and my birthday happened to be the 19th, and it happened to be a Sunday, and so she was actually going to be in Christchurch for the weekend, and so she didn't know what state they were both going to be in.
Mm.
And so I didn't know she was definitely coming, so there I am, and the Sri Chinmoy Lotus Heart in Christchurch, which was my favourite place to be.
Mm.
And my son at the time was an ardent right-wing Christian, and he would have walked out. Except he didn't know the way back, didn't have any cash on him and needed to get, you know, like... He would walk out because this was not, you know, this was against his version of Christianity to be in a Sri Chinmoy place with love and light and all the rest of it and people in saris and all the rest of it. He was having an altercation with his middle circle, his belief centre, okay? So then Patricia and Catherine come in and I was just so rapt. And so I went and sat at the table with them and left everybody to their own devices. And the middle son was absolutely horrified and gave me dirty looks, and he would have walked out except, you know, he was there with his new wife and he was with all of that. Anyway, so everybody stayed where they were. And I started dousing Catherine with Orosoma because I knew she would be getting so much hatred directed at her and judgment and all the rest of it. And I thought, this isn't going to be safe. We're safe because you've got you and Patricia on one side of you and me on the other. And we've got everybody here who's... Oh, my goodness me. And I thought, this is just not working at all. So we better just... And I just kept on pouring my master bottles of Orosoma on her. And she got more and more clear. And she got... Because she's a clearinghouse for God knows how many nasty entities. She's just wallowing in rubbish. Anyway, so towards the end of this, Catherine goes, ugh, as she's talking. And, you know, I'm talking to her like I talk to anybody, and I'm giving Patricia hints on, look, I think she's probably going to need some more water at this point, and look, she can have some of my food and blah, blah, blah. And Catherine's dragging me over in this direction. I've got no idea what she thinks she's doing, and she's taking me to the toilet. She has never gone to the toilet before in her life. At that point, she was, I don't know, 29 or something. Yeah. And I'm looking at Patricia going, Patricia, come think, I don't have any nappies. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Oh, gosh. And Patricia's going, oh, my God. And so we get into the toilet, and she's hassling her nappy, and she sits on the bloody toilet. And then she's going, I said, Patricia, I think she wants her privacy. And so Patricia says, Kath, we'll just be outside. And then we hear her go, the toilet.
Wow.
And Patricia goes back in, pulls the nappy up, and off we go. It's the only time in her life she's ever done it. She was clearer. Okay? That's the key point. Very proud mother.
Mm.
Both of us. We couldn't wait for her to do it again. Didn't happen. Not the point. Catherine's not stupid. You know, she was years at a special school and all they were trying to do was make her go to the toilet. Do you think she hasn't got it? She's got it. She's not doing it for her own reason. And unless we get to that, and I said to the special school, of course everybody thought I was weird. Actually, I said that at the preschool when she had one-to-one carer. I said, I suspect if you put a kitty litter down and show her how to do it there, because I think the problem is it's cold, it's drafty, and it's too loud.
Mm.
And I think if she was able to alleviate the distress in her body in a way that would actually work for her, then it would be a lot less messy. Well, nobody's ever taken me up on that. What would I know? I'm just my daughter's mother. So I just go about my business and everybody does what they do with it. But we've got to go where the problem is. And this is me going through the option process with Catherine. What does it mean to her? Don't know. I'm not in the head. But that would help if we had something, you know, because she doesn't like, she'd be ripping off a nappy and smearing poo everywhere. I mean, this is not a good thing that's going on for so many people. That's just what is happening. This is the reality a lot of parents of children like this, and or they're dosed up. But even then, that's not helpful, because then we've got violence, we've got all sorts of problems going on in the world. So we go back to, what does it mean? Now, what it means to your body for me to be doing this movement that I'm doing here is that I've had enough, thank you very much, and I'm going to attack you with pain later. And I'm going, yeah, but life is movement, and we don't have movement, and we've got to get it moving. And so that's the option process, and then we can talk about it again in a tick. So now I'm on the whiteboard, and I'm going to write down how you do the option process, Heather's version of, okay? So we're writing up here option process. Now, like with everything, I mangle everything and it becomes the way that I do it. So I don't know what they're up to now, but this is my version of it. So what we're doing is it's completely non-judgment. There is no right or wrong. There just is. And so what we're doing is at this moment scratching something, and we're going to get a reaction. So we're going to ask an innocent question. I'm going to give you another story. He used to like being called Bears. I don't know what he's calling himself now. So Barry Kaufman would be processing the staff that were there, and that was part of what they were doing. They had to also have this process done on them, so they were clear enough to be able to be there, not as a blank tableau, but so they weren't engaged in having a conversation in their life and all the rest of it. It's totally and utterly focused on the person who's having the option process done. And so she was having the process done, and she mentioned a child that he didn't know she had. As in, she mentioned the name of a child that she had had. Now, this child was dead. So guard your heart, everybody, because I'm going to tell you a story that is a bit upsetting. And so she was weeping and wailing and carrying on, and Barry asked the innocent question of, what's the problem, or something like that. And so she would have said something like, well, you would ask that, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, once she'd finished, she told the story. Now, this is the distressing story. She'd had this child, and she had other children, but she had this child. This child got really sick. This child was put in hospital. She didn't leave the kid. And, this is a story. See, this is a story of over 30 years ago. And she stayed with the child night and day for 4 days. And eventually she was stabilised, and everybody said, look, for goodness sake, go home. And if anything changes, we'll call you. Well, they were overstaffed, or understaffed, and the kid died because whatever it needed to be, you know, whether it was an oxygen something or something to keep her alive, nobody noticed it wasn't working, and the baby and the kid died. 18-month-old kid died. Well, imagine being mum. She knew she should have stayed there. So she had to go through the horror of the thing, plus the incredible rage at, how dare you do this to my kid, and all of the rest of that. And she was stuck in that moment, which is what we're talking about when we're talking about trauma. You are stuck
in the trauma. Yeah.
We're not moving from there until we clear it out. It's in a state of freeze, and this is what I'm talking about in the self-soothing course again. We are stuck, and we are stuck until we make a different sense of it. Okay, this is undoing the story. And we need the tools, which are two other courses I've got. So once we've got that bit undecharged, you know, the charge has gone off it, and it's the middle circle that's got a problem with it. Now, the body's got it stuck in the body too, but we've got to make different sense of it. So that's what the option process is about. And so the process was done, and at the end of it, she was grateful she'd had that child. And so any other, see what happens, and you can imagine, if somebody, you know, oh, poor you and all of this, and away we go, floods of tears. It's the same as if you've been telling somebody you've got cancer. Same as when I had to tell people that Catherine was massively brain injured and was not going to amount to anything. You're kidding. They all said, you're kidding. Does anybody say you're kidding when you tell them you've got cancer? Probably not. But they did to me.
And I had to then coach them through their trauma. I'm the one that's got the kid that's going to die. And you're upset. I'm going to, because I'm Heather and I'm the therapist and blah, blah, and you're my friend and blah, blah, I'm going to make it okay for you. You're kidding. Mm-hmm. Every single person said you're kidding. Anyway, with her, the mother of the child, it's called the gift of a question. This is the option process, the gift of a question. You ask the question that unlocks what it means to the person to be stuck where they are. And when you're stuck where you are, you can't get out of it because you're stuck. And if people are going there, and they're trying to fix it or numb you, give you untold painkillers, tell you to shut down, like in the case of mum dying, let's give a morphine and she's not there any longer. Or I actually thought my mother needed to know she was dying. And when I came over from Brisbane, because she was apparently dying, I put my hands on her. Because I had one look at her, I thought, right, well, I've got my crystals, I've got my aurasoma. I'm not putting a needle in you, you're too far gone. You've got subcutaneous fluids, you're no by mouth, you're completely out of it. Oh, Reiki. She didn't need any morphine for 2 days. She came out enough to recognise that I was me. And in that time, when she was still not out, I thought, when she wakes up, because I'm just figuring, she's going to need flowers. We're in the middle of July. I go to her garden. Of course, there's no flowers. So I go into town and I buy a vase and flowers because I've just flown and I'm flying out again. And put it there. And they put her in a room by herself because she's not a happy woman. And so there we are. She's in the room by herself. And when she wakes up, she sees the flowers. She wakes up and I'm there. I asked her if she knew what she was doing in the hospital. She said, yeah, I'm here to get better. I said, Mum, it's too late for that. You're here to die. Surely not, she says. That's not a cheerful subject. And I tried to talk her through it. She said, let's talk about this tomorrow. And I said to her, you might not have tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she said, and I said, well, why am I going to die? And I said, because you said that you wanted them to leave your gangrenous foot on and they decided that that was an appropriate response and you were sane enough. I didn't say it, but I meant it. You had full capacity to make that decision. And she said, they can chop it off now. I said, it's too late. Mm. You know, we've passed all of this. This is the end of the line. And I think that was a great gift from my mother to know that she was dying. I don't think you should be, you know, in more and more and more pain, then just get knocked out and then you're gone. I think you'd get stuck in Bardo or wherever the hell you are, not knowing whatever the hang had happened, and you'd be in a bit of a mess. I think you need at least to be aware that you're dying. Okay, so that was the gift of me giving. Not so much. Well, it was the gift of a question. What are you here to do? But different sort of thing. We're asking an innocent question. So when we're asking the question, we don't have an agenda. We're not going anywhere. We haven't got the answer for the person. We don't know. We want to know, in that instant, we are asking a question. What does it mean? Blah, blah. Okay? So ask the question. And you know, it could be, it's not asking them, what question do you want answered? I guess this is part of the fact that, you know, you've got a helper and a helpee. And help her. It's going to start with something like, I don't know, what does the pain mean for you? And then you start with that. It could be, what does cancer mean to you? What do you think you're going to die mean to you? Well, whatever, it doesn't matter. And from there, you've got the answer. And then you cover up the question. And then the next thing you're going to do is say, what does that mean to you? And then you're going to get another answer. And you're going to cover up all of that, and you've got that. Now you're going all over the place really quickly. And so what I would do is I'd just put an arrow and an arrow and an arrow and an arrow, and maybe there's don't know, and so then you might ask, how does that feel? Or you might ask, what can you feel? Or you might ask, what's happening? Now, if you're going to get I don't know becomes, if you did know, what would you guess it to be? Mm-hmm. Because we've all been told we're wrong. And so, you know, everybody's doing this. What if I'm wrong? Well, I don't know anything about you. And you don't know where you're going. So we're just doing this just as like a game. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be a breakthrough at some point and a massive,
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. So once we've got, in your case, we're pooing, then we've worked out, who's in charge? Well, we're going to have to uncover what's holding the healing from happening.
Mm.
And before we've sorted that out, we have to work out, who is I? Now, if you're going to go off into launches of distress and upset and it's not fair and all the rest of it, well, I'm obviously not talking to the soul or the body. Mm. And so I've got the ego running a damn story. So that's fine. Here's how you undo the story. You ask a question. Now, that's only going to be a little bit of it, but there's breakthroughs going on, like the aha. And the thing you resist most is generally the thing to do first.
So with the question, you ask the question, what does something mean?
Yeah, to you.
To me.
Yeah.
Then you give the answer, whatever that answer jumps out.
Mm.
Then you say, ask the same question.
No.
What about that answer?
Oh, yeah, we've lost that.
So what does that answer mean to me?
Well, I don't even say that. And say, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, yeah. That's
and so whatever the word is, and what does that mean to you, and what does that mean? And we've covered everything else up. Gotcha. And so you're so in your story. You've forgotten where we started anyway. It doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
We're trying to get down to what's driving the ship here. And the person who's doing the asking is not trying to run the show, and they're not responding in anything other than, okay. And so, you know, blah, 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 blah. And usually by about four or five of them, you've got far enough
to get some answers.
Yeah, you've got a different perspective on it. There's clarity that will happen. And look, they took us for amazing walks in the new green growth. We went from amazing walks. It was amazing. We had the best time in those 5 days of working with us. Now, I had the Aurasoma with me, and I was putting them all around us at the same time. Like, I used those master bottles all of the time, and the other bottles as well, because they discharge, so we're not stuck in. And at that same time, I was doing the Antikarana meditation. Now, this is part of the Life Recipes course, which I use for people to go as a lead into the, what I called self-discovery, but it's now undoing the story and tools, and it's part of gentling trauma relief, because we've all carried stuff, or we're carrying stuff from our mothers or from wherever that is sometimes online with us, and we don't know when it's going to come up, and when it does, we're in deep trouble, because we've got no context. All of a sudden we're stuck, sidelined, saboteur, whatever you want to call it, help, and you know you're stuck. So I'm going to you have to stay focused, and the question here is the clarity of the person who's doing this, and it might not be that you're nearest and dearest, because they're too tied into the whole thing. Anyway, so that's that. So the gift of a question is the option process. There is no right or wrong. You're asking just because you're asking, and we don't know where it's going to go, and the reason we're doing it is because we'd like to know where it's going to go, because it's obviously causing some distress at a level that's not conscious. So we're not doing talky-talky therapy. It's got nothing to do with a system other than basically going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And the body is having to deal with that. See, if we're looking at my three circles again, the body is having to deal with you running that at a level that you're not conscious of. And we're trying to access what might be getting in the way of your best efforts at doing something, not getting, because you can't get there, because you've blocked it. Now, I don't mean you've got a memory that's got to come up, although it might be. It's more a case of nobody's actually, like the lady with the kid that died, nobody's actually asked the question, what does that mean? And for her, when the question was asked, after this would all happen, you know, how do you feel about that? We call it Angelica. Then there would have been an incredible gush and love, and what an amazing baby she was, and this and that. And the next thing, because she's gone past and she's not here. We know she's not here. It might have been 5 or 10 years later. We've got that, but we're still stuck. Now we want to go, look, Angelica was only here for 18 months. That was her lifespan. This is what she signed up for, and she signed up for you as a mother. And the gift of this was now, this amount of time later, this woman would have been so much more clear about everything that was going on in anybody else's lives around her, because she understood that you can't push, you can't make things happen, you can't force it to happen. It has to be waiting until that person is ready, and we are not poking and making. We are not saying, look, you silly bugger, we're stuck here. You go, look, it's obvious you're a wee bit stuck here. Would you like to go through something called the option process? I haven't been trained in it, but I get the drift. And of course, they made it up while they were going along. And so this is my version of it, and here we go. And it looks like this, and this is what I'm going to do, and here we are. And good luck with anybody listening, because I haven't had anything bad happen with this. This is an incredibly powerful thing.